Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 18th. I apologize. It is the Tuesday of it's the Tuesday after Easter. So, if you have joined me for the first two parts of this episode, we discussed we are discussing the text assigned for the week of Easter. Easter Sunday was, of course, this past Sunday, the 16th, and there are four assigned lectionary texts for each Sunday. If this is the first time you're joining me, then I will tell you that there are some traditions that follow a lectionary cycle. That's a three-year cycle of assigned texts, and there are four texts assigned for each Sunday. There is usually an Old Testament, a Psalm, a New Testament, and a Gospel reading for each Sunday. So the Easter season, as I mentioned yesterday, is a little bit different in that there are two New Testament texts assigned each Sunday, as opposed to the one Old Testament and the one New Testament. And that is because there's so much content in the New Testament regarding the resurrection of Christ and the events that took place afterwards. So during the season of Easter, you get those two New Testament texts. And we discussed the first of those yesterday, the Acts reading from chapter 10. And Sunday, we discussed the assigned gospel reading, of course, the Easter reading that was for this Sunday, this Easter Sunday. And that was from the Gospel of Matthew and told the story of Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary Magdalene going to the tomb of Jesus first thing in the morning and discovering that he was not there, that he had in fact been resurrected. So today we are looking at the assigned psalm text for this week of Easter Sunday, and that is Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 14 through 24, and those verses are as follows. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And again, that is Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 14 through 24, assigned for this week, April 16th, Easter Sunday. And this psalm might sound familiar to you if you're familiar with your psalms. At least one verse might sound familiar to you, and that is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You have probably heard that verse somewhere. You might have even sung a song about it in Sunday school, or if you went to camp, there are songs that are based on this psalm. And it's easy to see why this psalm is assigned for Easter Sunday, because there are so many themes that are present here. I mean, this is the day that the Lord has made, obviously. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Easter Sunday is a day full of rejoicing. It starts, of course, in darkness and fear for the women who go to the tomb, but it soon evolves into a day of rejoicing when they learn that Jesus is no longer dead. He has been resurrected. And they go to tell the good news to his disciples and begin this whole process of of what happens after the resurrection, what happens with Jesus' followers, what happens with the new church that is formed because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and because of his followers, his disciples, carrying on his ministry, continuing his work in the world after his death, resurrection, and then finally his ascension. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But that verse could really be applied to all of our days, right? Every day is the day that God has made, and so we should rejoice and be glad in it. And that's not always easy, is it? There are some days when we know that this is in fact the day that God has made, and yet, depending on what's going on in our lives, we might have any kind of stress or worry or concern. There's always family issues, there's money issues, there are issues at work, there are any number of things that can be going on in your life that make you not want to rejoice, that make you not want to be glad in the day that God has made, in the day that God has given you. And that is so understandable, and it's such an easy thing to fall into when you wake up and things just aren't going well. You don't want to focus on, you know, you don't want people saying, hey, be happy, right? You know, that's one thing that can be really frustrating when you're having a terrible, terrible day and somebody just wants to hand you platitudes, or they want to just hand you cliches. And this can sound like a cliche that, you know, we should just rejoice and be glad in the day. Well, I would have to say that for me, yes, every day is a day that God has made, and therefore there is reason to celebrate because God has made the day. God is present in the day. God has made promises to us. God loves us no matter what. And so for me, that is always room for hope. And this is a perfect psalm to assign for Easter because it is a celebratory song. I mean, it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever." And then it goes on to talk about salvation, how God is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. And songs of victory, all sorts of really great imagery in this psalm. But it's that last verse that's really speaking to me today. And I want to go back to what I was just saying, that it's not always easy. Easter Sunday, it's easy to see why this is such a perfect psalm and why there's reason to celebrate. But not every day feels celebratory, does it? And I know for me, I don't often wake up and think, this is the day that God has made. I might think throughout the day that I do remember the promises that God has given me. I remember the promises that were made to me in my baptism when I was made a child of God, when I was brought into the family of God. And so I do try to keep that in mind. But what I love about the Psalms, and I've said this before, is that the Psalms cover every range of human emotions. There are the lament psalms, and those are the psalms when the author just brings his or her deepest grief, deepest fear, deepest anger, deepest whatever it is to God and just lays it out there. The Psalms really are, they do run the gamut of the full range of human emotions, and so they remind us that we can bring everything to God. So that's something that I try to remember. I try to remember that I can bring whatever I'm feeling to God, no matter what it is. I shouldn't feel guilty for not always just going to God in praise and prayer. I shouldn't feel bad that I'm taking my frustrations or my anger or my sadness to God, because God made me. God gave me this full range of human emotions, and God wants to be in relationship with me. God wants to be in relationship with you. And part of being in relationship, of course, is communication, of being honest. And so we have to be honest with God. We have to bring our emotions to God, no matter what they are. Even if we might happen to be mad at God, you know, God's going to understand that. God is so much bigger than we could ever possibly imagine. And God can handle whatever it is that we bring to God in prayer. So while we might not wake up and want to rejoice and be glad in the day that has been given us, there are still reasons to celebrate. And you might not always feel that, but from the outside looking in, we can say there's always the reason to celebrate because God loves us. Things might seem horrible. Things might just seem full of despair. And no matter where you are in your life, I hope you do take comfort in the fact that God is there with you. Even when you don't feel it, even when you worry that maybe God has abandoned you, and I know I've felt that in my life, God is still there. God is always there, always loving you, always wanting to be in relationship with you. And for me, that is where I take my deepest source of comfort. And I do want to talk more about this, but we are going to take our first quick break. So I hope you'll stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Psalm 118. Specifically, I was talking about Psalm 24, and I went in a direction that I wasn't really expecting to go in as I was talking about this verse, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it," and how that verse is so full of joy and so full of hope, and how we don't always wake up in the morning thinking these words, that this is the day that God has made and we should rejoice and be glad, that our emotions don't always run to rejoicing and gladness, but that there is reason to rejoice. There is the comfort that God is always with us. And so I hope that that's something that you can remember on a daily basis, or, you know, at least every once in a while, that God is with you no matter what, no matter how dark things seem, no matter what's going on in your life. God is there, and you can take whatever it is that is troubling you to God. You can always take that to God in prayer, and God will always be there to hear you. God will always answer your prayer, even if it's not in the time that you want. God has given us the promises of the resurrection. God has given us a new way of being in relationship with God. And we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been given grace through Jesus' death and resurrection. We have been given just the most amazing gift from God. So that is where I take comfort in this psalm, even at my lowest. And it's not always easy for me to remember that God is with me. Sometimes I just want to wallow in the misery and pretend that God isn't there, that God isn't listening. But that's just my own human grumpiness and allowing myself to wallow in that bitterness. And it's not true, even if the voice in my head tells me that it feels true. So anyway, I do want to continue talking about this psalm, and I want to look at some context for it. So we're going to turn to a commentary, and this commentary is from Carl Jacobson, who we've read commentary from before. He's the associate pastor at the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he says that Psalm 118 is called a song of victory in the New Revised Standard Version. And that is a translation of the Bible. Did you know, and I don't mean to sound condescending when I say did you know, but some people do and some people don't, that there's lots of different translations of the Bible and they have different names. So there's the New Revised Standard Version. There is the NIV, the New International Version. There's the King James Version that a lot of people like. There's all different kinds of translations of the Bible. And that is because, of course, the Bible wasn't written in English, and it has been translated. And translations, you know, they can be, not everything always translates over in exactly the way we would like for it to translate into our own language. So there's different translations and different ways of translating. So you may have heard of a translation called The Message, and that's more of a narrative translation as opposed to a more of a word-by-word translation from the original Greek or the original Hebrew into English, or, you know, whatever language it is you're speaking. But if you're listening to this podcast, I assume you at least speak English, because otherwise you can't understand me. But that was a sidebar into translations, and if you've never thought about it, you should look at the Bible that you have and see what version it is, just out of curiosity. It's not right or wrong, it's just a thing to, you know, notice and pay attention to. So, back to the commentary. Psalm 118 is called a song of victory in the New Revised Standard Version, and it invites Israel and all who read/pray/hear it to join its voice to that of the psalm and to say, to announce, to sing, to proclaim, the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. He goes on to say, this call to praise of God begins with Israel. Let Israel say. But continues in verse 3 and 4, and you'll notice that we didn't read those. We stopped at verse 2 and jumped ahead to verse 14. Continues in verses 3 and 4 to locate that call in the worship leadership of the priestly house of Aaron, and is extended beyond Israel to include those who fear the Lord. It is a bit strange, he says in parentheses, that the Revised Common Lectionary cuts verses 3 to 4 from the reading. He says, I would suggest including them. And I agree, because it does move beyond. It is extended beyond Israel to include those who fear the Lord. And I think if we included those verses, it would tie in even better with the text that we read yesterday, the text from Acts, wherein the gospel was being spread to not just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles beyond Israel. And I think that that's important that that is being said here as well, even though we didn't read those verses, but now we're talking about them. So now you know. So he says that this psalm is a radically inclusive invitation to all the peoples of the earth to join in the praise of the Lord. Again, we get that radical inclusivity, that surprise of the gospel, that it isn't just this group or that group that God loves. It is everyone, that all of the peoples of the earth should join in the praise of the Lord, because God made all of the earth, right? God made all of us. He says, Psalm 118, and the portion of it which is our reading for Easter morning, has three familiar sing-song verses. Verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And that is definitely one of the reasons that this psalm is assigned for Easter Sunday, because that is one way of describing Jesus, that he was rejected, he was arrested and betrayed and crucified, and yet he is the chief cornerstone of the church, of this new relationship that we have with God, this grace that we have received. And then verse 24 that I spent quite a bit of time on earlier. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So he says, strung together, these three familiar verses set the tone for Easter morning. And for the whole of Easter week, since this is Tuesday, you could say that. He says, God's steadfast love endures forever, even in and through death, bringing new life. Christ, the stone that has been rejected, becomes the foundation of a new reality. And this, even this, precisely this, is the day which the Lord has made. New creation, new life, new hope. And that, I think, is a really beautiful way of putting what I was talking about earlier, a much more succinct and concise and just a better way of saying what I was saying, that no matter what is going on in our lives, that each day brings with it hope, because God made this day. So there is new creation, there's new life, there's new hope through the promises of the resurrection in each and every day. And that does give us a reason to celebrate, right? Even when we feel so overwhelmed with everything else, there's new hope in each and every day, because that is the day that the Lord has made. So he goes on to say there are two other verses which highlight how fitting Psalm 118 is for Easter Sunday. Verses 15 and 16. He says, here again is an invitation of sorts in the description of the glad songs of victory which the people are lifting up, presumably fleshing out the call to praise, O God, O give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. And so he says, there are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And that again was verses 15 and 16, which he just was mentioning. He says, in the Psalms, the power of God's right hand is first associated specifically with God's saving acts in history, and then comes to stand as symbolic language for God's protection and comfort of the troubled in general. So you can see why this psalm really is perfect for Easter Sunday because it references so many things that tie in so nicely with the text that we read, with the themes of the day. So God's right hand, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. God's right hand is associated with all the saving acts that God has done throughout history. And if you joined me this past Saturday for the Easter Vigil, there are all of those stories, the 12 stories from the Old Testament that talk about God's saving acts. So God's right hand is just a metaphor that's associated with God's saving acts. All of those stories, from the creation story to Noah's Ark to the Exodus story, to all of those stories that we read of God working throughout history in those saving acts to continue to be in relationship with God's people, to try and get them to be in relationship with God. And we are going to talk more about this psalm. We are going to talk more about what the commentator is talking about. But we are going to take our second break, and stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. If you noticed before the break that I was even, weirder than usual, because I'm always a little bit weird, it's because just as I was getting ready to go to break, somebody popped their head into the studio and scared the life out of me. Oh, he didn't mean to. I'd actually told him to come grab me when he needed help on something, and so I was expecting him, but clearly I wasn't expecting him at just that moment, and so I jumped about a mile and a half and stumbled my way through the break announcement. So there you have it. One silly little thing that happens in the life of a studio and a podcast network. At any rate, before the break, before I got most of my hair turned gray for me, we were talking about Psalm 118 and this commentary from Carl Jacobson, who was referencing verses 15 and 16. Those verses are, "There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." And he was saying that in the Psalms, the power of God's right hand is at first associated specifically with God's saving acts in history, and then comes to stand as a symbolic language for God's protection and comfort of the troubled in general. So that's what we were talking about before the break, and I just needed to remind myself of that because, you know, whew, had my heart rate go up there a little bit. But to continue what he says in Psalm 118, 15 and 16, obviously what we're talking about, the right hand of the Lord occurs three times and is exalted for having done valiantly. The language derives from the Exodus event, yet another saving act of God's in history, right? This is one of the earliest examples of this phrasing, he says, comes from Exodus chapter 15, verse 6, in the Song of the Sea. "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy." That this phrase is explicitly tied to the Exodus event in Psalm 118 is supported by 118:14 as well. "The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." So it actually makes sense, Psalm 114 leading into Psalm 115, if the right hand of God is symbolizing that those saving acts. So the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. And then the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. It segues right into it. He says, so in certain psalms, the right hand of God is connected invariably to the power of the Exodus event, specifically the Exodus event specifically, and similarly to God's work in settling the people of Israel in the Promised Land. He says, in other psalms, the phrase takes on a more general sense of comfort and care that is found in God's right hand. He says, for example, we find this in Psalm 63, verses 5 through 8. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. And again, then he references Psalm 139, verse 10. Even there, at the farthest unknown limits of the sea, your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. So he's just giving us several examples of other instances where the right hand is referenced, whether it's in those examples that specifically reference the Exodus event or the salvation, the salvific acts of God throughout history, or when they refer more to comfort and strength, such as these, where my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me, your right hand shall hold me fast. So I think that's actually really interesting, and it's something to keep an eye out for as you're reading through the psalm. Just go ahead and keep an eye out for those instances of where the psalmist references the right hand of God, and then you can determine for yourself as you're reading through, do you think that is referencing God's saving acts through history, a reference to the Exodus perhaps, or is it in more of a reference toward comfort and strength? It's not something that I've ever really thought much about. So for me, I think that's going to stick in my brain a little bit, and I'll be looking for those, the right hand verses throughout the Psalms and seeing what surrounds them in the Psalms, what the context of the Psalm is, all of those things. So it's just an interesting tidbit for you. You can take it with you into your reading of the Psalms, something to look for. I always like things that help me to tie verses and chapters and segments of text in with other segments of text, and I like when I learn something new, as I did here with the right hand of God referencing both the saving acts of God through history as well as the comforting acts of God and those acts that give us strength. And I think that references, or for me, it goes back to that verse 24 of rejoicing and being glad in the day that God has made, because that right hand of God has done valiantly. We can look at the saving acts of God throughout history and know that all of those acts have built upon one another to bring us to where we are now in history, and that God is still working through the world. God is still working in the world. And that right hand of God also should give us a sense of comfort and of peace and of strength, because we know that God is still working through the world. So Jacobson goes on, he says, borrowing this Exodus language explicitly, the prophet Jeremiah promised a new Exodus in the return from exile. And this is Jeremiah 23, verses 7 through 8. Therefore the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord who lives who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the lands where he had driven them. So then he says, much as in the Psalms, Jeremiah uses what God has done in the past to imagine and make sense of what God is or what God will do. And so too, for us, during Easter, we make sense of what God has done in the past, looking forward to what God is doing and will continue to do in the future. So all of this is this comes from Psalm 118. And when I first read through these, I wasn't fully sure what I was going to really talk about until I read this commentary and went, wow, this is a really rich text. There's all sorts of things in here that I'd never really thought about. If I learned them in seminary, I forgot. So sorry to my professors in seminary for the things that I've forgotten since then. But I think that this is just interesting, and he concludes this commentary with, the true and final new Exodus of the resurrection is effected by God's right hand. This is the Lord's doing, and it is indeed marvelous in our sight. This is the new day that the Lord has made, a day of unparalleled rejoicing and gladness. So no matter where your day is, I hope that you are able to find a little bit of celebration, a little bit of comfort in God's right hand in these texts, knowing that God is with you no matter what. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow for the fourth and final part of this episode, where we look at the second New Testament reading assigned for this week of April 16th, and that reading comes from Colossians chapter 3. So as always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download them on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, any app that you use for your mobile devices. You can download our podcasts. I would love to hear from you on social media, as always. Anything that you would like to ask me or leave me a comment or things that you need prayer for, I would be happy to hear from you. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, all those good social media places. So come check us out and leave me a comment. Again, thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. But in the meantime, I hope that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.